Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with Wesley and Liz from Bitcoin Bay, the meetup for the Tampa Bay area in Florida.
Howdy, Local Bitcoiners. Rev Hodel here. I'm back with Reed, and tonight we are going to be talking with Liz and Wesley from Bitcoin Bay in Tampa Bay. And before we get talking into them, I'm going to share yet another meetup adventure, another story from a local Bitcoin meetup that I've been attending. And tonight is the last meetup I went to is my beloved Southwest Michigan meetup here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's at Dweller's Coworking Space on the first Thursday, or not the first Thursday, that's the South Bend meetup. That's my meetup. Southwest Michigan meetup is the third Thursday of every month at Dweller's Coworking Space. And this meetup is the big circular economy meetup that I go to. And so I'm always happy to pick up my groceries when I go. And so this month I was able to pick up 6 pounds of ground beef, 3 quarts of yogurt, some nice fluffy sourdough dinner rolls, and a few pounds of coffee from our good friend Otis Bittmeyer. And you know, the meetup was cool because we had some people that had come once, and we've talked about it in other episodes, but sometimes you notice that people will come to a meetup, they'll come once and then they don't show back up. But maybe a few months go by and here they come swinging through again. And that was the case with the woman who was selling the sourdough products. So she came to the meetup a few months ago with a whole tote full of bread and sold it all. And she was pretty excited that she sold out. And so I thought for sure she'd be surely coming back to everyone. But, you know, people have lives and maybe they can't make every Bitcoin meetup. But, you know, she came back to this one with another huge tote of bread and sold a bunch of it. So it's just really cool to it's a good reason to realize, like, hey, if your meetup isn't really pulling big numbers every month, you know, just hang in there and then people can swing back through. You got to be there holding the door open. So Reed, how was yours? I guess you recently talked about the most recent, Western Mass meetup. Do you have a meetup adventure story to share?
Yeah, I don't have a new one. You know, we've been recording more often than we used to. So, I haven't been to a meetup, since our last recording, but I can talk about our next one. So our next one is coming up Sunday, May 17th. So we're still, you know, several weeks out, but that's at 6 PM. At the Heavy Culture Cooperative in East Hampton, Mass. So that's our new location. Looks like we're good for our second month in a row there. I'm still in the process of trying to get them to committing to let us come there for the rest of the year. Like, I sent them all our dates already. I mean, I'm pretty excited about it. Last time we got pizza. And, so we're going to do that again. It'll be pizza, just taking donations if people want to throw down a little bit for some pizza. There's bar, so people can get drinks at the bar. You know, and then we'll do our Socratic seminar, which I have not prepared for yet. But yeah, one of the things that I got kind of tasked with at the last meetup was, you know, I think I mentioned last time, right? So we started talking about, you know, can we start doing more of using Bitcoin as money at the meetup? And so people liked the idea, and we started talking about different ways, and people had ideas about how we could post community bulletin boards and things like that. So I have been tasked with trying to figure out the best way for us to move forward on that path. And so I haven't executed anything yet, but I've got some ideas, talking with some other folks, you know, in the Meshadel about different ideas that we could do. So hopefully by the next meetup, I'll have some sort of an idea to present to back to the group. But so yeah, I don't have too much. So why don't we introduce our other guests? So we've got Wesley and Liz from Bitcoin Bay. I don't know, Wesley, you want to go first and introduce yourself and you tell us a little bit about Bitcoin Bay?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here. And, you know, especially as you guys are talking about, you know, circular economy stuff. That's you know, why we started Bitcoin Bay. Bitcoin Bay, you know, so I guess start with me. Born and raised outside Tampa, third generation Florida man. I left, went to school in Boston for 6 years, came back home during COVID, met the local Bitcoiners, pretty soon after getting into mining, meeting people like Barn Miner through Telegram, and you know, just plugging machines in, thinking I was going to be rich in 6 months. And I made a lot more friends than I did Bitcoin. So I joined the meetup. The Tampa Bay Bitcoin meetup is one of the longest active running, consistently running meetups in the country since 2014. I joined in January of 22. This was peak bull market pretty much last cycle. We're at 65K a coin, like $4.50 a gallon of gas. You know, everyone is still raw after COVID. And so we had 60 people at BitDevs, and no one was there for BitDevs. Nobody knew what was going on. They were just looking for Bitcoin near me. And all we had was BitDevs at the time. So that's when we I became friends with the organizer, who was a dev, and a couple other guys at the first meetup. We all shut down the next several bars, just pinging off each other, like finding best friends, like that Step Brothers, you know, scene. And that was when, you know, we came up with the idea of Bitcoin Bay, which was a Bitcoin circular economy in the Tampa Bay area. Sounds like you guys are doing a great job up there. So I love to hear it. You know, we've had meetups where people are selling, you know, extra produce from their garden, barn jerky from Barn Miner, bit axes, 3D printed, you know, like it's a lot of, there's a lot of peer-to-peer, e-cash, going on. So it's great to hear you guys are doing as well up there. I would love to have a sourdough girl. We incorporated as a nonprofit because we wanted to provide an actual structure to what was going on, because as we're hosting events, money is coming in and going out, and you know, it's not all Wesley's income that we're doing here. So we went that route with a nonprofit route, to try and help kind of. It's not these guys coming to try and teach the school of Bitcoin. It's, oh, the president of the Bitcoin Bay Foundation wants to come and talk to you about about Bitcoin tonight. People love their titles. It's been great. You know, we've been hashing for 4 years, since I've been on the boat. You know, we're Bitcoin Bay. Our office used to be in Tampa. Our meetups were in Tampa. Now our office is in St. Pete. You know, so we go around the entire area, which maybe was taking a bigger bite than we knew how to do at the time. But you know, it's a good name at least. And you know, our goal is kind of to create like a vacation spot for Bitcoiners. You know, like it's like make it the best place in the world to be a Bitcoiner. You come down to Florida. In the winter, you can stay with, you know, short-term rentals. We have guys that have them. You can stay in Bitcoin. We want to eventually convince people to move here, which I think would be a good way to kick it over to Liz, who is one of our big wins, for catching a nomad. Between us and El Salvador, we wanted to have an American version of somewhere you can actually go. And live like a Bitcoiner.
Yeah. So I'll introduce myself. I'm Liz. Liz Parrish. I started helping run Bitcoin meetups back in 2020. So my background's actually in civil engineering, and I was living in DC for a while and got to a point I ended up hating my job. So I quit and moved back to Charlotte, North Carolina to be closer to family. And have a brother there that's Jacob, that's been running meetups since 2013, so also a very long-standing meetup. And he had kind of taken a hiatus for a little bit, and I've just always loved throwing events. So I would throw like parties at my house, like themed parties all the time. And he approached me and he just said, Liz, like, I know you've wanted to do this for a long time, like be more of an event planner. Do you want to help me really grow Bitcoin Charlotte? So we kind of teamed up together to really kind of invigorate the Bitcoin Charlotte scene again. So we started doing that together in 2020 and did that in about till 2025, and founded my own event called Halloween. I think the only Bitcoin themed Halloween party. But yeah, Charlotte just wasn't, just didn't feel like home to me. And so I started nomading kind of around 2023, actually going to different Bitcoin meetups around the world. I mean, I would go to places and not know anyone and post on X and go on a Orange Pill app and meet other Bitcoiners. And it was really cool to see other meetups from around the world. And yeah, I thought I was going to move to El Salvador, went there for a bit, lived there for a bit. But around that time, I think 2024, started doing some work with Wesley and the guys at Bitcoin Bay, and came down there to work an event and just fell in love with it and the Bitcoin community there and what they're building. And I actually think it's really great that it's a big area, because we do have a lot of ground to cover and lots of different groups of people instead of, you know, just kind of like one little city. We have a wide range of people. So yeah, I've been the events coordinator at Bitcoin Bay since, well, about almost like a year, like I think kind of to the date almost. So
yeah, it's crazy how how fast time has gone.
So I've got a friend of mine, Soul Exporter, and he has some theories around what attracts people to areas to participate in this Bitcoin culture. And what he says is it's not about the numbers. It's about the gravity that's formed by the cultural capital. And so that's what was it that drew you to Bitcoin Bay, Liz?
Well, I will say part of it is the location. Like I'm an outdoors girl, so I wanted to be in the outdoors. I think what Wesley and the other guys, like there's a lot of young blood there too. Like there's a group of young guys that are started building there, and they're very passionate. I mean, you could tell when I met them that they want to build something great here. And like I said, the area that it's covering too is really big. And so there's a lot of space for a big community to build. Like, I mean, I guess Charlotte was kind of like that too, but it felt smaller to me in a way. And there's just a lot of room for growth here. Not only that, I mean, I'm specifically in St. Petersburg, and there's a huge tech hub growing here. Like we're in Arc Innovation Center, like Kathy Woods here. Like there are a lot of tech people that are coming here that I don't think people realize. Like she just said something the other day that this is going to become like, you know, the San Francisco and the new San Francisco. So that's a big reason. I just think that there's like a lot of room for growth, and I was really attracted to that. And also like it is nice being in the sunshine for sure.
Yeah, it seemed like Florida and Texas were both big winners with the exodus out of California. Is that what, like, are you guys seeing other converts from that? Like, you know, you said that's the new San Francisco. Like, is that what kind of like you're seeing with the young startups and stuff like that happening?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of people that I've talked to that are moving, from Colorado and from California. We have some people in our group too that snowbird. So they do have places in the world. They'll be on both, like California and in Florida. Yeah, they're up north in New York and come down here for Florida as well.
Yeah, we get a lot of nomads too. They'll be out in Colombia or Indonesia, Philippines. You know, that's why I always feel so confident in saying this is the best place in the world, is because we have a lot of nomads and this is their home base.
Yeah.
It's the place they all keep coming back to.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So like that was a big reason. You asked me, that was a big reason too. I met a few Bitcoin nomaders, and they were like, Liz, like we always come back here, just like Wesley is saying. It's like a hidden gem in a way. And it's hard to explain until you get here and experience it for yourself. But I met so many people that they were like, yeah, I mean, I still travel, but I'm always coming back here.
Well, the kind of energy that a traveler brings is different than somebody who's there all the time. And so if you have this culture of people passing through all the time, and especially if they're coming on a cadence like the snowbirds, that creates a really interesting dynamic to the culture where it's like, hey, so-and-so is coming back, or like they returned. And it kind of, I'm sure, creates some enthusiasm in the group to see these people. Like I was talking about at the beginning, where there's this person who didn't come back for a couple months, but maybe it's like 8 months or 6 months between when these people are coming back. And so it feels a lot different.
Yeah, it also adds a lot too. I mean, let's say I've kind of stopped traveling a little bit, but somebody goes to El Salvador, lives there for a few months, and they come back to Tampa, St. Pete. They get to fill us in on what they've learned, you know, which is really nice. And even, I mean, like, I don't think this is doxing him, but Brandon from Green Candle, I mean, he's traveling a lot and then comes back and, you know, tells us where he's been, which is awesome too.
Yeah, I don't think you could dox him. He films everything he does.
True.
But yeah, and that's kind of a funny thing too, is that like we have people everywhere. I don't know if you guys have seen I forget like what division, it's like the cyber warfare division. It's like, and they have a patch and it's an octopus over the globe. It's like nothing is beyond our reach. Like I edited that with like Bitcoin Bay, because I'm always finding people in like random parts of the world. People are like, oh, I ran into this person from Tampa. We're like, oh, hey, like this person told me to tell you hi. Like, I'm just like, what are you doing out there? I mean, we'll go to, you know, we have people going to conferences in California, finding somebody that lived two blocks from them, and now they're coming to the meetups. You know, so like it's really funny that like we have this distributed community, and you know, I do love that about, you know, the meetups. Like, you can literally just post on Twitter and be like, hey, is anything happening? And if you're in a major city in the country, like, you'll find several things.
Well, and another thing interesting about the nomads is that they kind of can grease the wheels of the circular economy, you know, because if you're traveling and you want to travel on Bitcoin, you got to go somewhere where you can spend that stuff. And so if you can create a place where they can come and spend it, they're probably going to want to keep hanging out. So that kind of leads into the circular economy stuff that you guys are building. From what angle are you taking? Obviously in Michigan, we're focusing on this food production and stuff, but there's a lot of different ways to do it. What are you guys doing?
Well, it's coming, it's taken different forms pretty much every year over the past couple of years. We were early on highlighting a lot of, in network, like, you know, our local, like all right, farm manager does jerky. I had extra stuff. I had a friend that did salsa, you know, so we'd start kind of just bringing random goods to the meetup. And then we started doing some farmers market stuff, talking to vendors, being like, hey, would you be interested in accepting? So a lot of our stuff has been more like outreach and onboarding. We probably should, you know, now at this point, like, host a market. You know, I know Charlotte has the Bitcoin markets that seem to be, you know, kind of growing popularity every time. And now that Square, you know, turned Bitcoin on, I had, back before Claude nuked us, I had my OpenClaw agent scrape the local Square merchants and populate a list of like 2,400 merchants in the area that take Square, put on a map, and that color codes by like city. And so now we have a list that we're able to just start kind of, you know, we can just start knocking down. And, you know, so we've tried doing things like bounty programs with the University of Tampa. Like, we're very involved with the Bitcoin Club there. We have like two interns a year, and we give lots of talks. So, you know, we've, you know, done stuff with like, hey, like, you know, are you a student that goes to the same pizza joint every Thursday or whatever, and they know who you are? Ask them to take Bitcoin. And if you get them to take Bitcoin, we will give you 50,000 sats. We'll give them 50,000 sats. Like, we'll pay for your next thing in Bitcoin or a pizza. So, you know, we try to, you know, like, there's the guy who did the Pirate Party in Sweden, Rick Fjolkving, I think is his name. And the book is Swarmwise. And it's about, you know, creating a decentralized movement and empowering the individuals in it to act towards the goals that you guys are trying to set. So a lot of the onboarding that we've had have been friends that, you know, people that are friends with owners that frequent the place, you know, like, and so our members are doing it without us being like, hey, go to that business, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And
go ahead, Liz.
Well, for myself, when I moved here, you know, because I want to live off Bitcoin. I started. There's a lot of markets where I live, so I started attending a lot of those, and then first just started creating relationships with these people, like not talking about Bitcoin. Like, like, I went to this kombucha place and I really like their kombucha. And so I just, you know, showed up every week buying it. And then slowly I would start mentioning, oh, I'm the events coordinator for Bitcoin Bay. Like, would you be open to accepting Bitcoin? And now they've already established this relationship with me. Like, they like me, you know? And so then I would kind of take that route. And then I would slowly ask. In this kombucha place, I asked and took a few weeks. And when I came back one time, one of the employees said, hey, like, I talked to our boss and he really wants to start accepting Bitcoin. Like, he already is a Bitcoiner. Like, he really wants to do this. And I was like, oh, okay, this is great. You know? And then we onboarded him and now we're having our meetups there. But I started to do it with the places that I like and I go to. And then I create this relationship with them. Like, I go to a sauna and a cold plunge. I met the owner, started going there. And then I kind of slowly told him, you know, what I do. And then I was like, you know, it'd be great if you accept Bitcoin. And I kind of was like, well, if you don't, I'm going to stop coming here too. And it's, for me, it's been pretty easy that way. Like, even there's an artist in my neighborhood and same thing. I just kind of went in there, became friends with them first. And I was like, hey, you know, it'd be awesome if you accept Bitcoin. Like, this is what I do. And that's been pretty successful for me for the most part, instead of just like going in and being like, hey, will you accept Bitcoin? And like going right in their face, you know, and they're like, I don't even know who you are, or like, why do I want to do this? You know? But yeah, that kombucha place has been great. Like, he did start accepting Bitcoin, and now we're having, I left the other place we were having our meetups at, and I just told them, because I tried to onboard them and they wouldn't do it. And so I said, we're going to leave, you know, because you're not accepting Bitcoin. And so we moved to the kombucha place, which has been great. I mean, he wants to get rid of credit cards completely and just only accept Bitcoin and cash. So that's pretty great. And I mean, they've been super supportive too. They're going to put like an orange pill kombucha up, you know, as one of the drinks. And, yeah, so that's kind of my approach. I think, like, if you can create a relationship, and sometimes I think some people just kind of go in like too hard and like scare them. Like, just, you know, just be friendly at first.
Reed, I know you were going to jump in there with something, but I just want to add something to what Liz is talking about real quick. And that's, like, we talk about Bitcoin as peer-to-peer digital cash, right? But what I think people miss about that word peer is that you have, like, the best way to orange pill is to build a relationship, make them your peer, and then you can transact with them. Especially because I personally find my Bitcoin to be the best money, and this is really valuable stuff to me. And I don't want to just throw it away to Stake and Shake or whatever. I want to, if I'm spending my Bitcoin, I want to spend it with somebody that I really know and that's going to use that Bitcoin and really appreciate it for what it is. But I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, 100%. I think sort of both of you a little bit alluded to this, and this was definitely on the list of things that I wanted to talk to you guys about. So Bitcoin Bay, coincidentally, was the first place that I went when my meetup was considering starting a 501(c). And, you know, Wesley, you were saying, you know, one of the big reasons that you did it is so that when you start doing this outreach to like these other businesses or other programs, or like in my area, there's a lot of universities. And when I approach them, I don't want to just be, hey, like the guy who's doing this, you know, Bitcoin meetup. If I can go and say, hey, like you were saying, right, I'm the president of the not-for-profit, Bitcoin not-for-profit in the area, like, we're here about educational services, like, there's no money involved, like, this isn't like a scam or something like that. And then Liz, you know, you mentioned too, it's like, well, I get to say, well, I'm the events coordinator for Bitcoin Bay, you know, it's like an organization, it's just like my job kind of. And I feel like it like adds a little bit of, I know it kind of seems like there's like a fiat credibility piece of paper in there somewhere, but I think it's also just like showing them that you're serious about it, like that you're willing to like take all these extra steps. But I'd love to hear more about like the 501(c) process and how you guys went through that, and the pluses, the minuses, like what worked well, what are some like really annoying challenges, you know, just things that other Bitcoin meetup organizers might want to know.
Yeah, so if anyone's interested in starting down this road, there's a book from Nolo, N-O-L-O, and it's Starting and Building a Nonprofit. Or just get your bot to do it at this point, I guess. But, you know, before, in the before times when we had to use our brain and write things, it takes you through the whole process of starting and building a nonprofit. So like, what do you need? You need your board. You need, you know, based on your state, there's rules on who can serve on the board. What are reporting requirements? You know, it talks about building websites and marketing and doing donor stewardship and getting donors and email lists. And so it takes you through the entire thing. I got bored when I got to legal. Well, I already got through the founding, the starting part. So I was like, well, that's what I needed to do. I need to get this thing started. I don't worry about the legal stuff. Which is a joke for anyone that wants to audit me off of that statement. I have a bot that does it now. And it's actually quite simple if you're going to stay fairly small, which, you know, most meetup organizers looking to go this route probably would stay pretty small. We knew that we were going to, you know, be larger, so we went kind of the harder route. And honestly, we ended up just like paying a local legal outfit $1,000. They like, we guarantee your 501c3, you know, exemption acceptance. We're like, great. They asked us a bunch of questions and then they sent it off. Now, if you are going to stay under 50 grand in total revenue for your first 3 years, so 50 each year, you can do what's called a 1090 EZ. What am I going to say?
1023?
Yes. Yeah, 1023 EZ. And so it's like a one pager. It's a lot simpler. And your reporting requirements is a 990N note card. And on that note card, all it is, your entire reporting for the IRS for that year is, did you have less than $50,000 in revenue? Did you change your officers? Did you change your address? Now, for Florida, for our solicitation of contributions license, which most states have, and are probably all different, we still actually kind of had to go through and break down what all that revenue was based on programming, administrative, and again, I have interns at finance guys that do this now, so I kind of forget the thing, and I booted it up, but I think it's programming, general, and maybe admin. And then it's like, okay, well, this was events. What event? It was our soiree. It was the Bitcoin Day Tampa conference we did. It was, you know, our meetup bucket. So you may need to kind of break that stuff down, but states have templates for that stuff, and TechSoup is a great aggregator for tech services for nonprofits. So like, we have Canva Pro for free for like 100 users. So that was great because that helped us make all of our meetup flyers and all of like all the graphics, and we got all the pro features for free. Google for nonprofits allegedly will give you 10 grand in ad credits, but you know, we still haven't been accepted because probably because they hit Bitcoin. You know, we have QuickBooks online for like $23 a year, you know, so that helps pull in all of the credit cards and the bank accounts and stuff that we have for the business, and it helps keep things organized. So there's a lot of tools out there available, which I guess would to answer the first question, what does it unlock? So we've already talked about the perceived legitimacy. Because I'm a person with a title at a job that has an office. You know, I'm not just, you know, it's not just me, you know, just coming and doing this thing. I'm not selling you something because this is nonprofit. This is just an education, it's community-based. Also, there's no capital gains taxes in a nonprofit. So if you are wanting to operate the community on a Bitcoin standard, it takes kind of that, you know, that burden off. And it also provides just protections, you know, because if you're hosting a meetup and it's at your buddy's house or something and somebody slips and falls, then, you know, the non-incorporated association, which is what a meetup is, you are an association that has non-incorporated, that's what the legal kind of structure is, isn't going to protect anybody from that. If you wanted to have the market and you wanted to have volunteers, and something happened to one of them, and there's the legal shield as well. The downside of running the nonprofit is everything I just said. I mean, that was a ton of jargon, paperwork, and you know, understand the legal side of things. So, you know, there is accounting, there is admin, but there is that with any organization. And so, like, if you are going to try and take your meetup from anything that's not just a social, which, you know, having a social layer with your local community is 100% necessary. And I'm not downplaying that at all. But if you are wanting to have sponsored events, like if you're trying to host a Bitcoin for Business workshop and you don't have a space and you need to cater, I mean, like you will very quickly, if you have an event of 30, 50 people, you will start spending $1,000 or more. And okay, so where is that money coming from? Oh, we sold tickets. Okay. To who? Who put their money from those tickets into what bank account and then sent what money from where to who? Because what you're going to end up with is $1,000. If it's a $1,000 event, you're going to put $1,000 in income and $900 in expenses. You don't get to write off that income. Like I got W-9 for our first sponsors. And I was like, ooh, okay, we need to not do this. So I don't know. That's kind of a long-winded weave around the question. But, you know, there's definitely trade-offs. I don't regret it. I definitely would, like, if you're going to do this fresh, get a guy on the board that likes accounting, one that likes the legal, that, or that likes the day-to-day, that likes the admin, you know, make sure it's not just the three people that are there the longest or even five, you know, like just make sure that, like, you know, you spread out your strengths and weaknesses across the group, you know, be intentional about who you're building with. And then also lean on the people that are in your group. Because now you can give them titles, you know, like, you know, we brought up, you know, Green Candle. I call him our minister of propaganda. Obviously, he's not going to go to a business with that. But we have interns, you know, she's our social media coordinator. You know, like now I'm able to, like, you know, give you a reference. Like, yes, like you are this person who performed this task with this title in this job role at this company for X percentage. And if you've got young kids in your groups and they need community service hours for, you know, high school or whatever, you're not able to provide that. I mean, I can go on and on kind of about this stuff. I mean, we've been doing it for a while now, but hope that kind of gets at the gist of the question.
Well, so one question that I've got that kind of piqued my interest is that you kind of get access to some resources, you know, not only do you get like the free tech stuff, but is it possible that when you're looking for venues or looking for catering, or because you have this nonprofit, you get a different deal?
No, but we, and I'm not sure how, but other states do this. Florida gives nonprofits sales tax exemptions. So that $1,000 event would have been $1,070. For us, it's only $1,000. We don't have to pay that 7% on anything. You gotta, you know, I mean, if I'm buying random stuff online, like on Amazon, you know, like you gotta give them your certificate of exemption. And so, you know, like we host a lot of events. So whenever we have one of our, you know, if we have if you have a $10,000 event, you know, saving 7% on that, like that's a line item that you don't have to pay. So that's the deal from people that we've seen.
And speaking of events, so you guys have at least one like big event. Do you throw every year? So this is like the Sound Money Soiree. Is it correct? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Yeah. We just had our third annual soiree on February 28th of this year. Yeah. You know, that's kind of one. I grew up. My mom ran the auctions, like the fundraisers for like my elementary and middle and high schools. So I've like grown up like around fundraisers and these kind of big parties. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, you get your charity stats, you got to throw a big fancy gala. And so we use that as kind of like our signature event, try to bring everybody down, bring everyone together, you know, showcase the whole community. And, you know, this year was probably our best one yet, you know, in no small part, thanks to having Liz on board. You know, it's, I'll let her kind of talk more about that, because she had a large hand in making it all happen. But, you know, like those markets you have, like we had a silent auction that had just a smorgasbord of Bitcoin products and services from the whole community that, you know, wasn't going to fly down to Tampa, but Ben Justman, you know, will send us a basket or two of his wine. So it's a great way to extend the opportunity to be part of something to people whenever they can just mail you a basket of tallow or hot sauce. And stuff like that. I'm really upset that I was not able to get to the auction this year because it's just one of those things. And Seed Signer has been giving us a great basket every year for years. And this would have been my year. And Liz's brother stole it from me. But you know, I'll take it I got the sister, so I guess I'll allow him to have the Seed Signer basket. But It's been a lot of fun, you know. And Liz being part of all of these different communities and meeting everybody has been great. You know, just like you have the market, it's a great way to bring everyone together and share and what Bitcoin can do.
Yeah. And the silent auction, I'm not gonna be able to name everybody that sponsored something, but a lot of the people were from Noster that I contacted, and everybody was just so generous and so happy to be a part of it. And it was actually really cool if anybody's thinking about doing that. Like, some people really wanted to contribute to know what their items were, how much they would get bid on. Like, Leather Mint, the Bitcoin Standard book, he really wanted to know, like, I want to see what people value this as. So that's kind of good for the vendors as well to see, okay, well, what is somebody actually gonna bid on this? So that was kind of cool. And yeah, having a mix, like we had this year, we had a lot of Bitcoin vendors there and products, which was really, really cool. But then in addition, also try to get some of these businesses that we onboarded to also donate. And so now that, you've created this relationship, like the sauna I went to, we gave those businesses a discount too if they wanted to come to the event. So they got to see our community, and then he donated, a gift card to the sauna. The artist that I onboarded, he gave a piece of artwork, and I'm even talking with him next year about maybe doing like a live painting. So, you start building these relationships and onboarding these businesses, then they can become part of this bigger event, which is really cool. And then we also had, shout out to Purple Painter. He was there this year. So that was really fun having him there doing 10 minute portraits. It was really nice having him. And then also, there was a cigar roller and poker as well. And I tried to add in just for the, all of those are great, but also you got to think about the women, especially like there's a lot more women coming to a gala than might be coming to a regular Bitcoin meetup. So I was like, hey, we got to do something for the ladies too, Purple Painter really helped with that, just doing the portraits, and he would do double portraits or couple portraits as well, which was nice. But then we also got a flower bouquet building station, which was great. That's something that the women could take home, but also they started putting flowers as boutonnieres for the guys as well. So it just adds in something fun, kind of thinking outside of the box. Like, not everything has to be so Bitcoin only, and you got to think about who's coming to this gala as well. And if they're not, if they're a girlfriend or a wife, and maybe they don't want the Bitcoin Standard book. So what else could I put in this auction that they're going to want? Maybe it is a sauna session, or we have somebody locally that always donates like laser treatments and facials, things like that. Like, you got to think
those are big hits.
Yeah, you got to think of that too. Like, who's coming to this event, and not just like, oh, we're only going to have straight, Bitcoin products. So, and I think that thinking that way, it builds a bigger community, and it makes people want to come back because they feel welcome. So.
So we mentioned HODLween, I think you did at the beginning. And was that like kind of the first event like that that you've kind of put together?
Yeah, that was the first. And yeah, it honestly kind of started as a joke. Bitcoin Vegan, his birthday is around, either it's on Halloween or around then. And we were all sitting around a table and we were like, oh, we got to do something for your birthday. And I just came up with HODLween. And it kind of started as a joke. And then my brother Jacob has, he always had a pumpkin carving contest at his house. So we were like, oh, let's combine the two. And it was really fun. That first pumpkin night, it's always really fun because people are doing like Bitcoin themed pumpkins and stuff. And again, it's kind of a little different, or people get to show their artistic side. And, then my idea with the actual party, kind of what I was saying about the 4A too, it's like, okay, how can we bring Bitcoin to people in a different way that people, maybe they don't want to come to a meetup? Like, well, how can we make this fun? And so Halloween, it was just a Halloween party on White Paper Day, and everybody dresses as Satoshi Nakamoto. So that means you can dress up as whoever or whatever you want. And what I noticed from that was that the first year we did that, and the second year, we got a lot of wives and girlfriends. Like BTC Sessions came our second year, and his wife came, and he said this is the first Bitcoin event she's ever been to because she didn't want to go to any. Now, I mean, she's going, I've seen her at a bunch. But I think having events like that that are a little more, I joke, like not as scary. Some people just don't want to go to a Bitcoin meetup, a regular Bitcoin meetup. So try to come up with a way to bring people into Bitcoin in a fun way. So we have the costume contest. You win sats if you win. And then also we hid sats throughout the venue. I think it's with Ellen Sats. I forget who that was through. But yeah, it's just a fun way. And I think that's important for all meetup organizers to think of. Because when I started helping my brother in Charlotte, like we were just sitting around a bar, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like that's fine, but not everybody wants to do that. And especially like if you do bring like, yeah, maybe not all women want to do that. So what other ways can you introduce Bitcoin? When I started helping him, I was like, well, listen, we can talk about Bitcoin anywhere. It doesn't have to be at a bar, you know, you can. So what I started doing, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do the things I want to do and invite the Bitcoin community. And it was really, really interesting when you do that. And we noticed this at Bitcoin Bay too, like, okay, maybe you have one week we have an event at a bar, it's a social, but then, you know, the next week we're going to volunteer with, you know, your local community. And it brings out a whole different group of people. And so I think that's really, really important to do as well. One event I did in Charlotte was called Bitcoin Rocks. And we paired up with a local artist that painted our logo on a rock. And we hid 21 of them throughout the city of Charlotte and like put all of them on social media, had a QR code that if you found one of these rocks, you know, you did have to come to our meetups and one of our meetups and you would get Bitcoin. People loved it. Like they're following us on social media and, you know, trying to find these rocks. And we talked about the importance of scarcity. So I just think that's important to think about because a lot of them I was going to at first, like, okay, we're just sitting around a bar at the same place, like doing the same thing. And that can get old, you know, but we also talk about at Bitcoin Bay too. You also have to recycle because there's constantly new people coming in too. So although we might be going to meetups for a long time, there's somebody down the street that knows nothing about Bitcoin. So you also have to have Bitcoin 101 still, you know?
Yeah. And we've been talking recently about like the benefits of having, you know, even like regional events, like anytime you throw a little bit of a bigger gathering, you know, you get people from, it's not just your regular crew, right? Like you can, if you have a bigger, you know, party or get together or something like that, like a regional event, you know, you're going to get people either flying in or coming in because they, you know, it's an excuse to get together with a bigger group of Bitcoiners. And I think a lot of people actually, you know, a lot of people's first touch point with other Bitcoiners are these bigger events. You know what I mean? Like the Bitcoin conference or something like that. And, you know, we got the big Bitcoin conference coming up here pretty soon. Is it next week? I think it's like next week, right? And so, you know, Liz, I know you're going to be there representing a little bit Bitcoin meetups, right? Do you want to talk to us about the booth?
Yeah. So this will be, I want to say the fourth year that we're having a booth at the conference for meetups. And it's great. We have volunteers from meetups from all over the world that will take time at the booth and be there to show people where they can find their local meetup, or if they don't have one, to how to start your own. And you can also shill your own meetup while you're there. But what is amazing, like what you're saying, Reed, is we get so many people that are at that conference that they have no idea they can go meet other Bitcoiners in their local community. They just have no clue. Like they're coming to our booth and this is the first time they've ever met other like-minded people at the conference, but they have no idea. And I'm talking like big cities too. Like I remember last year when I was there at the booth, there were a lot of people from Chicago and they're like, oh, there's a, you know, I can go to a group in Chicago and meet and hang out with like-minded people. So I just think it's really important, you know, to keep getting the word out, because some people just have no idea. So yeah, we'll have the booth. We'll be in the Bitcoin Bazaar. We'll be there all 3 days. And we have Satlantis helping us sponsor the booth this year, which is great. And yeah, we'll do exactly, somebody comes up, show them how to find their local meetup. And if we don't know where it's at or know how to find one, we're going to direct them to the Get to Your GitHub, to how to start your own meetup. Then in addition, we're also, Wesley and I and two other meetup organizers are going to be speaking on stage on Tuesday as well about Bitcoin meetups.
Dude, so that Chicago touch point is really interesting, because that's a meetup culture that I'm close enough to where I participate with those guys. And it's really sort of blown up in the last year or so. The Chicago scene has like been revived somehow. And maybe that booth had something to do with it. I mean, these guys, they recently spun up this thing called the Chicago Bitcoin Collective, where it's like a restaurant with a co-working space. And they're doing like events every week there, like all the time. I'm going to a barbecue coming up here this weekend. That'll be my first time visiting there. But there, before that started, the bread and butter meetup of the Chicago culture was the BitDevs. And so I was curious, like, as far as the Tampa Bay, Bitcoin Bay's bread and butter, like, it sounds like you have a bunch of different meetup formats, but what's like the most popular, or just like the ones that your favorite ones?
I think the most popular are Liz's at the kombucha place. You know, like that, those consistently get the higher numbers. The bit devs get the same people. The workshops are always a mixed bag, and the socials definitely have the higher attendance rates.
Yeah.
What's your favorite though? Like, which one do you prefer? Like, are you really get psyched about?
Well, so I mean, I liked doing the workshops for a while, because, you know, like in the beginning, like I didn't, you know, what was going on. So I just learned how to use BISC, and now you're all going to learn how to use BISC. I just learned how to use, like Ellen RoboSats, or, you know, like, this is how we're going to do, you know, like stuff like that. So like, it was a lot of it was just scratching my own itch. Forcing myself how to, you know, to learn by teaching. Graphene, you know, like, we're going to set up a graphene phone. Obviously workshops, stuff like that. So, you know, it's a little selfish, but you guys, I want to learn this and you get to do it with me. So I always enjoyed those. And it was, after a while, like those socials, we were at the same bar with the same guys complaining about the same stuff. And I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, like I have friends. I don't need more. Some are surprised, but I am still quite introverted. So it was, you know, like I don't go to as many socials as I used to, mostly just because there's just so much stuff going on. But it was definitely that same kind of, you know, that was what made me want to be like, all right, we're learning how to do things. We are going to take action here. We are going to start actually building out these tools that, you know, we're learning about at BitDevs. You know, Ben's sitting there yapping over our heads, and we're all like, what the Frost? You know, like, I don't know what's going, like, Schnorr, who, you know? So we started actually, okay, let's do a Nostr workshop. Let's build a seed signer. You know, like I liked that stuff. So that's kind of the direction I took it for a while. We always keep the socials, though. We still have them, you know, because there is something for everybody. And actually, if people are looking for, it's not going to be quick cash, but like, people will pay for boot camps. Like, I started doing a Bitcoin for Beginners boot camp on Saturdays and charging like $25 a head. I needed to charge more. But you know, like, don't be afraid to like charge. If you're a meetup, if you have information and implementation and people want it, they will pay to come get it. So that's a, you know, a very small way to get some revenue going. It was a lot easier with Mutiny back in the day. Cause be like, hey, just download this test. You know, just don't even download anything. Just go to this test wallet, and we'll do fake sats. But I like doing the hands-on stuff, even though it always bites me in the ass because everyone's device is different and the QR codes just never work.
I did charging for a couple. I did some workshops with my meetup. Like I did like a multi-sig workshop a couple times, and I did the charging thing. And it's probably just a thing that people need to get over. I didn't like it. I started to think, you know, I mentioned like for our meetup last time, like I just brought pizza, and it was just like I wasn't gonna like charge people for it. So I was just like, oh, you know, it's a donation if you want, right? Because all the, you know, the sats are just gonna go to the meetup anyway. So, I don't know if. Like, have you thought about, like, or have you had experience with, like, just trying to drive donations and having that not really work very well? And, like, there's a difference when you just charge for the event up front?
People don't donate.
Hmm.
And it's not true at all. That's not true. Like, we have a core group of monthly donors that I am extremely thankful for and are the reason why we're able to, you know, do what we do. We have a very lean operation. We run on a Bitcoin standard, so everything costs 10 times more than it does, you know, in our heads. You know, like we have a small office. We have newsletter, meetup, you know, some tech stuff. But we don't bring pizza to the meetups. We don't feed people. People will bring snacks sometimes or beers. You know, whenever we have like a meetup and we're like at the end, we're like, hey, like we have these membership tiers that, you know, if you guys find value here, we'd love for you to join. It helps support. And it's we don't find a super high conversion. Maybe none of us are natural salespeople, and none of us really like you don't want to be begging for money. You don't want to be telling people you need to pay to be here. You know, but like it is something we do. Like people do have to get over. Like you are trading your time and your energy for this thing, and that is valuable, and you know, like you should feel comfortable requesting value for that. I mean, it was like when people like wanted consulting help, I used to charge $30 an hour, and then very quickly it was like, nope, that's I need to. Everyone's like, you need to charge way more. But now, like when like someone who's been around for a year and a half wants me to help them set up like a hardware wallet, and it takes me, you know, a hard wallet and a desktop and all that, and it takes me 3 hours. Yeah, I feel bad charging them $100 an hour. Like, that's my guy. But also, like, I just spent an afternoon here, and, like, I do have rent.
Yeah, I think this is interesting in the Bitcoin meetup space, because, Reed, why did you feel bad about charging?
I don't know. I guess I felt like I was trying to do, you know, like an educational service, you know? And so I'm the one like pushing everybody to learn more. Like you guys need to learn this stuff. Like, you know, it would be really great if you could pick up these extra skills, because these are going to be good tools to have in the toolbox, like as you continue to like hold your own Bitcoin and things like that. And so I don't know. I think I'm just not that type. Like, I think it's just me. It's like a me thing, like why I was uncomfortable with it. Because like you guys are saying, it is, they're walking away with something tangible. Like they're walking away like with this knowledge. I just felt like I was the one pushing them into it from the beginning. And so I don't know. Like I don't like the feeling, like I don't want people to think that I'm pushing them in this direction just so I could sell them like tickets to this workshop.
I think without experience too, it's hard to put a price on it. Like Wesley, you're talking about the $30 for consulting. Like maybe you've never done consulting probably about Bitcoin. So it's like, if I start out at $100 an hour and like, you just kind of get a vibe for it. Right. So like, cause there's a, well, first of all, the same guy, he actually brings a cooler with beer to the meetup and does value for value, you know, just have beers if you want to kick me some sats, whatever. But he also is doing this regional meetup. He's starting to plan this regional meetup. He's doing like a hotel party. you know, and having some, getting the conference room and having a little bit of, you know, education and stuff involved with it. But, you know, I was kind of like, at first we were talking about doing this maybe at a free place where people didn't have to like buy a hotel room if they wanted to stay the night. And for people that wanted to come in, charging something, but just to first of all, get an idea of how many people are going to show up. If you just have like this open, click RSVP, you know, a lot of people click that button and never go. But if they have to actually pay even $5, now you get a better idea of who's showing up. But then it's like you get to the point where the price is so cheap that now your events are full. It's like, well, that's the indicator that you can now raise your price on your tickets without having to try and guess the value of this thing right off the bat.
Totally. When I see I have a meetup and it's got 15 RSVPs on meetup.com, I'm like, we're going to have 4 people. But when I know when it's one of like our, and I know it's like when it's like our cigar, when it's our members social, also only it's our supporting members social. So either you're a donor or you're of like a volunteer or a contributor, you know, like we have a guy that always like, he's got a truck, he's got an SUV and he pulls and he has like a trailer thing that he can pull stuff. So anytime we have an event, he helps us load stuff up and take stuff out. He brings EAEs and ice, you know, that's a supporter. We've got a guy that does graphic design. That's a supporter. You know, they're not paying us monthly. So we'll have like, you know, events just for our supporters. 2 RSVPs. I know 15 of them are coming. So like, this, because they have skin in the game. Just like you have to charge a little bit for, you know, to make sure. Like, if you're charging $10, somebody is like infinitely more likely to come than if you didn't charge at all. Now, it is going to limit your attendance. Less people are going to come, but more people have said they will show up. And we put a lot of effort into our meetups. I mean, not like Bitcoin Bay, like Bitcoin organizers, you know, put a lot of effort, you know, put what is money, what is Bitcoin, you know, how did like these are like concepts that are like courses that are taught, you know, like, and you know, we are all volunteers in this great game. And we're putting our time, energy, and knowledge into producing these things. And if somebody isn't willing to give you $10 for it, you know, like all of our meetups are free. It's just whenever we have like the extra boot camps, or the like the Bitcoin for Business workshops, you know, like because we're renting out a space, we're paying, we like need sponsors to cover that stuff. So like we don't charge people to come to socials, the bit devs. But if we're going to do a Saturday session and I'm going to have to spend my Saturday afternoon, teaching, you know, you guys for 3 hours, you know, to do a crash course on Bitcoin, you better, you're getting this cheap, you know, at $25. So, you know, and it just makes it more sustainable, as well, you know, like, cause the regional stuff's great, you know, but if you're getting a couple dozen people together, it's going to cost you some money. I mean, like, obviously you can, you know, like you can bring the pizza to the meetup. You wanted to have the meetup. You invited everyone to the bar and you're going to bring 2 pizzas. That's not going to kill you, you know, over, you know, it's $40, you know, every other week or so, whatever, you can eat that. But, you know, if you're going to start actually doing stuff, you know, with venues and productions and things like you can't eat that forever. I mean, unless you were, you know, mining early on back in the day and you just are feeling altruistic, you know, you got to find ways to make it sustainable because, you know, the blocks keep coming and this isn't, you know, the last bull run. I feel a lot older this time
around.
Well,
you know what, one of the reasons why I think the meetup organizers work so hard, and I don't know if this is subconscious or a conscious awareness, but like when you're participating in the fiat system, right, the name of the game is to extract as much for yourself as possible. And that's how you win in fiat. But in Bitcoin, the name of the game is how the more you give, the more effort you put into the Bitcoin culture, the more you get back. And so this comes into like this permaculture stuff that I'm into, where there's 3 ethics: earth care, people care, and non-extraction. And so like if you're trying to give all your time to like accomplish this, right, make sure that every decision you make, it improves your environment, every decision you make helps build the community around you, and it does so in a way which doesn't take from anywhere else, there's a principle in permaculture called obtain a yield. And so if you're obtaining a yield from making these decisions, once again, that makes it sustainable. And a lot of times obtaining a yield is getting a little bit of Bitcoin, getting a little bit of financial capital. And so it's not, you shouldn't be ashamed or think that this is a bad thing, that when you're giving to Bitcoin, that you should expect a little bit of a yield out of that effort.
Yeah, 100%. And
so, you know, so speaking of yield and getting, you know, returns for what you're providing, Rev, what are you thinking? Is this a good time to start transitioning to boosts and other things, value for value stuff?
Yeah, I think so. And before we get into the boost bot list for the night, I would just want to go through some final key takeaways from our discussion here. I guess, Liz, do you have any key takeaways?
Key takeaways. I would say, you know, to all the meetup organizers out there, keep building and keep creating community, and maybe in some different ways that you haven't thought of before.
Yeah. I'd echo that. You know, I mean, I know this is probably for like the local builders, but I would say don't reinvent the wheel. Like, how many "what is money" presentations you think are scattered across all the meetup organizers' computers? I'm sure your guys' audience already knows that about Reed's resources, and we need to add our website builder to that as well, which I guess we didn't really talk about at all. Is, you know, if you are going to have a meetup and you don't want to roll your own website, you know, Bitcoin Bay has an open meetup framework that anybody can use. I don't know how easy it is to share that. Maybe we'll put in the show notes, or we'll get it added to the repo. But you just download the skill, and then you tell your bot to deploy it in whatever colors you want with your local context, and it builds in like a BTC Pay or BTCMap.org scanner for your local area. So it's a you know, it has a whole feature rich backend that I still don't fully understand because I'm not the dev. But it has newsletter stuff built in and all that. So I think just as people are building out, you know, just definitely like don't reinvent the wheel, you know, do as little work as possible because somebody else has already done it. You know, like make sure you're asking, you know, people that have organized, stuff before, because the grassroots community is my favorite part about Bitcoin. The only reason I go to these conferences anymore is to see everyone. You know, I haven't been to a talk other than like Ross's in, I don't know, 3 years. So, you know, it's a great community to be part of. And, you know, the longer you survive, yeah, the better it gets.
Yeah, yeah, I think too. So what I'm, go ahead, Reed. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, talking about the AIs, so the AI has come up a bunch on our episodes. And I think that it's kind of almost a directly related to one of the key takeaways I was going to say for this episode, which I think it's kind of related to like sustainability. Being a Bitcoin meetup organizer, I've said it on other episodes, it can be kind of a big ask. We're volunteers here. And so anything that we can do to try to make it more sustainable, whether that's like a 501(c), you know, or like you were talking about with, you know, using the AIs or using the agents to make your life a little bit easier. Like whatever you can do to try to, if it means that your meetup is going to run for that many more months or that many more years, you know, it's something that all Bitcoin meetup organizers should think about.
Yeah, and I think for me, what I'm hearing from this discussion is that, you know, once again, in order to create the movement, the excitement, the cultural capital that creates the gravity to bring people in, you got to find ways to make it fun and creative, you know, because Bitcoiners like to have fun. I love to have fun. You know, I want to have fun at the Bitcoin meetup, and I really would enjoy having all these different flavors of meetups to go to. And not only fun for the people coming to the meetup, but Wesley, like you're talking about, when you want to run a workshop, you want to pick something that you're going to have fun sharing with everyone. And so that's kind of what we're doing here with this podcast too, by trying to incorporate a lot of this value for value stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about something new that we've been playing around with. But before we get into that, I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to go through all the boosts that we've got since the last episode. And so, first one we have is 10,000 sats from Fountain. And that was on Local Bitcoiners, how meetups can benefit from value for value, Noster and value chains, episode 7. And it says, and this is anonymous, check out our new website for the Columbia, South Carolina Bitcoin meetup, columbiabitcoin.com. Our meetups are the fourth Saturday of the month at Savage Craft Arrow Works in West Columbia, South Carolina. So there you go. There's a meetup for you to come check out, fourth Saturday every month. Get more information at columbiabitcoin.com. And yeah, thanks for the sats and for the boost. This is really what I hope this that we can do is just read off boost after boost after boost of people with meetups out there. So people know that there might be one, like just like the booth there at the conference. People don't know that there's a Bitcoin meetup right around there. And these people could be on Noster. They could be listening to this right now. And so, yeah, let them know about your meetup.
Yeah, I've never been to that one, but it's close to Charlotte. And I've heard really good things about that meetup. So
there's some cross-pollination. Some people are traveling to each one. That's another reason, you know. It's like anyone from Charlotte listening to this and they haven't made their way down there. Now you hear about it again for Saturday. Go get down there and hang out. Next boost we have is 1,000 sats from Fountain, from William the French. And he says, born in 1972, when I was a kid in Northern Ontario, our local AM station ran a virtual garage sale over the AM radio waves every Sunday morning. It was awesome. And I think William is kind of referencing this sats market thing that we were talking about in the last episode, which was Local Bitcoiners, how Bitcoin meetups can benefit from value for value, Noster and value chains, episode 7. We were talking about Bullish, who has this sats market there on Noster. And so thanks for the boost, William the French. Next, we've got 2,100 sats via Fountain from Reed. Thanks, Reed. He says value chain for the win. And this is something that we're kind of playing with this boost bot. Every time you boost the podcast from any app, right? Any podcasting 2.0 app, not just Fountain, Reed's Lightning node will see that boost come through and automatically generate a note that gets posted onto Noster. And there's actually, there's splits in there. So if anyone zaps that boost on our note here, you'll get a split of those sats. And this is this idea of the value chain. So the more you participate, the more opportunity you get to get a rebate back on your participation from other people who appreciate the value that you're giving.
We've been doing all kinds of your experimentation with that. It's been fun. We've been throwing notes around on Noster quite a bit. So it's fun times.
Okay, next boost we got is 3,000 sats from Fountain. This is Lagus. And they say, I'm prepping to talk about Noster at a meetup, and I've been thinking about how people care more about stuff when it's easy to see how it's useful for them specifically. Everybody knows that feeling of, oh, we don't use that website app platform anymore. I hadn't yet made the connection about planning meetups and events with Noster, and I like that example. So yeah, we talk about this. We're really trying to suggest that any meetup organizers use whatever platform you're comfortable with, you're already using, whether that's meetup.com, Luma, Evento, whatever. But also make an event on Noster so that we can start to cooperate. We get a better aggregation of all the meetups that are going on out there, because Noster is the one place that isn't walled off. Then the meetups can be actually aggregated together in one place where if you know about this, you can go find them all. So thanks, Lagus. And then we got another 3,000 sats from Lagus. And he says, also running a meetup out of a music venue would be a dream. And so Reed's newest venue is...
Hell yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, if there's any of those...
I really hope we can get some value for value music stuff there at some point. I mean, it's, you know, we've only had one meetup there. I'm not trying to, like, you know, go overboard with them right away. But yeah, I'm very excited about this new venue.
You got to do a Toonster event.
Exactly.
You got to get open mic up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an open call last episode. If anybody knows anything, like what the best way for me to show value for value music to like musicians and venues, I'm all ears. Like I need, give me the download so I can, you know, do a good pitch.
Okay. So next up, we've got 6,006 sats. Is that boobs? Boob? I'm not good with the number stuff yet. I'm going to learn this lingo eventually, guys, but keep playing with me here. And so that's from Late Stage HODL. And Late Stage HODL is a homie from Lake Satoshi. And Liz, I know you've been to Lake Satoshi at least once. And there's some Lake Satoshi HODLween crossover. It's really cool. But what Late Stage HODL says is, keep up the good work, gents. Really enjoy y'all's discussion, and it's holding me over until I can get back to Lake Satoshi. There you go. And listen to Rev speak his mind about all the things he has bouncing around in there. And hopefully someone will start boosting from South Alabama or Florida panhandle area with a meetup. So there you go. Late Stage HODL doesn't have a meetup. He's looking for one.
In Alabama?
South Alabama or Florida panhandle.
But I know there's some people on Noster, because there was a Noster Bama event that I went to right there on the panhandle with Sergio. So I know I don't know if they have Bitcoin yet, but there's a Noster fam there for sure. Because I think they're going to do Noster, yeah, they're going to do Noster Bama again, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, they are. Noster Bama sounded like it was a killer time.
Yeah, it was great. We went skydiving.
But you were there. Yeah. The skydiving sounded like everyone loved that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So there you go. Noster meetups are Bitcoin meetups as far as I'm concerned. And they're a lot of fun. So anyways, keep your eye out. And anybody out there, you know, Sergio, if you're hearing this, let us know about Noster Bama and a boost and we'll get you connected with Late Stage HODL. Next, we got William the French with 500 sats. He says, great episode. Up here in Kitchener, Ontario, William the French. And we have active farmers market culture with a strong cash is king culture. I'm wondering if anyone listening here is from my area and would like to help orange pill these folks. Also, the idea of insisting on denominating in sats. I lived in Mexico for 2 months once, and by the end of that short time, I had started thinking in pesos. It doesn't take long. Cheers. So there you go. There. Here's another person, doesn't have the meetup, but they're looking to cooperate with somebody in the area. So if you're listening and you're near Kitchener, I can't say that. Go find William the French. She's on Noster, and this note is on our NPub on Noster, so you'll be able to find William that way as well. Next, we got 100 sats from an anonymous. Thank you. And now we have 5,000 sats from Matthew D. And Matthew D has been, I think he's boosted just about every episode. And he's got White Paper Soap Company. I'll say it every time. I buy my soap from him. He's a local guy here to Michigan. But Matthew D, he says, disregard my post about the talk on 421. Michigan Bitcoin isn't doing the Tuesday talks anymore. So we're recording this right now. So unfortunately, if you showed up to see Matthew D talk, he ain't there. So, but thanks, Matthew D. We really appreciate all the boosts and keeping interacting with us. And so next we got a boost from me, 220 sats. Grassroots event is high signal, high impact, and high vibes. Thanks, Andrew and Fundamentals for joining Reed and I. And so I think everyone here except me was at that grassroots event.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So I missed out on that one, but at least I got to talk to people about it.
I guess we didn't end up talking about it on this episode because we had the recap episode a couple weeks ago, but grassroots, super high signal. And again, it kind of comes back to almost like those regional events, right? Where, you know, the more that we can get together in person, especially the Bitcoin meetup organizers getting together in person, I don't know, it ever since the first grassroots I went to, it really lit a fire under me. in terms of taking my meetup more seriously and like understanding the mission that we're all sort of on together, and realizing there's a whole bunch of other people like all over who are all thinking about the same stuff that I'm thinking about. So I love the grassroots events.
Yeah, me too.
All right, next we got another boost from me, and this was I'm boosting the show so much at the end here because we're testing out some of these new value for value features that we're playing around with, and so in this boost I boosted the information about my meetup. So South Bend, Indiana Bitcoin Meetup is the first Thursday of the month at Lang Lab, 6:30 p.m. And what I did in addition to putting that information is I made the note on Noster for the event, and then I copied the event string into my boost. And so now this doesn't work in every client, unfortunately, but now when you see this Noster note that goes out there, my event is right there in that message, and you can click on it and RSVP and everything. And so this is a way you can embed your Noster events into the boost. So when you promote it, it's very easy for anyone who's actually interested to get all the full details right there instead of going to some other website or anything else. It really integrates the boosting process together in promoting your meetup. And then next we got Reed. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is the segue to my boost too. The benefit of some of this testing, right, is that, like you said, your event's not going to show up in every client the same. But because you did that test, now we made changes to the boost bot. So going forward, if you do share, you know, the event link, the Noster event link directly in Fountain, like in your Fountain, like just copy and paste it over, now it should render on all the different Noster clients.
Fingers crossed. There's so many different ways to do it out there. We don't really know, you know, if it works every time, but let's give it a shot. We'll work on making it work if it doesn't. So Reed's just repping his meetup. I won't say shilling. Eastern Mass Bitcoin Meetup, Sunday, May 17th at 6 p.m. at the Heavy Culture Cooperative in East Hampton, Massachusetts. And actually, the other cool thing about this boost is that Reed has tagged his meetup NPub in there. So now when somebody sees this boost from Fountain over to Noster, they can easily go and click on that meetup and pub and get more information about the meetup that way. And so you start to see what we're trying to play around with here is that as you participate in this value for value boost stuff, if you do it through Fountain with this Noster integration, or actually, well, anywhere, right? Any of these podcasting 2.0 apps, now you can directly link into your Noster social graph. Because Reed is tagged in this note, as well as the Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup. And so it's linking it all together. Next, we got 500 sats from William the French again. Dude, thanks, William, for all the boosts. You're really giving us lots of value here. Listening but old. We don't like Fountain because emails, so doxing. What other options? And so, yeah, I did reply to William on Noster. So there's you can go to nudepodcastingapps.com, and that will get you all of the other options for these podcast 2.0 apps. And you'll be able to find one in there that should allow you to boost from outside of Fountain and not have to give up your email.
And that website is safe for work. Just saying.
Yes. Yeah. It's our friend Spencer from Bowl After Bowl. I think that he has that domain redirect to newpodcastingapps.com, but it's just so much more fun if you go to nude right. podcasting apps. So this is what I'm talking. We got to have fun, guys. And so the next boost, we got 200 sats from Satoshi Chef. And this one I also was playing around with, but so they say this was a high yield episode for me. A goal of my project is the Noster value pack is to make large public zaps. Gamify it, test the infrastructure, and zap the leaderboard. So I know this person from Lake Satoshi, and that's why I figured they wouldn't mind with me playing around with their note a little bit. But they do these Noster value packs where they consolidate, they pick a bunch of stuff from all of these different people on Noster selling stuff, combine it together in a box, and then try and see who wants to get that box. And it's just a way to get people exposure to a bunch of the different people on Noster that are producing products and selling them. And so I wanted to show in the next boost that you can also paste in your, like they had a Zap Snag on Nostr. And so with that message, they could actually add the note with the Zapsnag in it. So with the boost, now you're actually getting people directly to that Zapsnag so they can see what you're talking about. And here in the, it does render the note right there. So you can, you don't even have to click anything. You can just see it in our NPub on our feed for local Bitcoiners. And this gets blasted out. Anytime you boost, it goes to all the local Bitcoiners social graph. And so that leads into the next cool thing that we're trying to do, which is Reed's also developed some leaderboards. And I guess I just take it away, Reed.
Yeah, we're tacking the leaderboards onto this episode. And so I promised not to take too much time, but I did want to give them a little bit of airtime. So we have three leaderboards. And so I'm just going to read through them kind of real quick here, just to give people a flavor of some of the other stuff that we're doing to promote the show, but not, you know, more so to promote the people who are promoting our show, right? It's to promote you. So the first leaderboard is really just breaking down some of our episodes. And so it's the episode boost leaderboard. And so this is the episodes that have brought in the most total number of sats. And so, hey, maybe this is a good way for you to think, you know, if episode 5, which is in first place with Augie, in 63,373 sats, well, if episode 5 brought in all those sats, that's, if you haven't listened to that one, that's probably a good one to check out, right? Because it brought in a lot of values. Episode 5 is in first place. Episode 1, our pilot episode with just Rev and I, that was in second place, 56,771 sats, followed by episode 2 is in third place. And that was with GC, the Bitcoin Breakdown, and James from Jersey City. That was 47,062 sats. And then in fourth and fifth place are episode 7 and episode 4. And those were two other rips with just Rev and I. So the next leaderboard we have is...
Well, I want to say one thing about that leaderboard real quick before you move on. And this,
yeah,
so Liz and Wesley, you are in the splits for this episode. So now if your episode that you're on gets on the leaderboard and people continue to zap, you'll continue to get that value split. And my hope is that when you guys will take those sats, you do whatever, they're yours. But the idea is that then you can roll that into your treasury there and use it to help get your, do something cool for the meetup, right? And so this is just another way that, like, this is us giving value back to the people that come on our show and participate with us, is by getting, if you can get on that leaderboard, now you get these sat splits forever. You know, people will continuously see that you brought the fire signal on the episode, you know. So that's all I wanted to mention about that.
That's awesome. Appreciate it.
So next leaderboard, these are our listeners who have boosted the most number of episodes. So not the most number of boosts, not the most number of sats, just how many episodes have they boosted? So first place, Matthew D, 6 episodes. So we've only had 7. So that means 6 out of 7, Matthew D. Thank you so much. Followed by God's Death and Shadrach in Wartime, all tied for second place with 4 episodes. And then we have a big tie for third place between Mark, Rev Hodel, Otis Bittmeyer, Boomer, Jair, and Business Cat. So thanks, guys. And, you know, just like Rev said, so those, everybody there, they're all in a big, giant zap split. So if people are zapping that note, then you get a little bit of a cut. This is like your ranking in terms of, you know, the real local Bitcoiner ride or dies. So thank you, folks. And then finally, our last leaderboard, these are our top boosts of all time. So the biggest single boosts ever sent to the show. And so, you know, we're only 7 episodes in, you know, but we're hoping that this is going to be a leaderboard that, you know, maybe people want to stay on top because, hey, if you get on this leaderboard, you know, you're going to get read out on the regular. So in first and second place, both first and second, is Bitcoin is for Everyone, which is a conference coming up May 22nd and May 23rd, 2026. Both of those boosts. So the first one was 12,020 sats, and the second one was 11,010 sats. So thank you again to Bitcoin is for Everyone. Third
that,
place
that
is
conference is in Portland, Oregon.
Yes, Portland, Oregon. Thank you. Third place is Otis Bittmeyer. Otis Bittmeyer Coffee, definitely one of the faves. And so he boosted us 10,420 sats. That was back on episode one. And then in fourth and fifth place, we have We All Eat with 10,020 sats. And then Matthew D with 10,000 sats on episode six. So again, everybody here is tagged for Zap Splits. And yeah, thanks everybody for boosting the show. And like we were talking about this whole time, we're just looking for ways to give value back and keep the sats flowing.
Yeah. And if you run across one of these leaderboards on Noster, give those guys a follow because they're all doing cool stuff. Everybody's got something going on. Otis Bittmeyer's got coffee if you need coffee, and you can go find him this way. And so I guess that's it. We're trying to have fun, lean into this value for value stuff. Let us know what you think. Do you love the leaderboard idea? Do you hate the leaderboard idea? Give us a boost. Let us know. We'll talk about it. But thanks, Liz and Wesley, for spending some time with us. I think that it was great to hear about everything going on down there at Bitcoin Bay.
Yeah, and you guys will be representing big time at the Bitcoin conference. So good luck on stage and good luck at the booth. We're really hoping, all Bitcoin meetup organizers are really pulling for you. So we can get some more people in, hopefully following the big conference. I'm very hopeful. I think that there'll be a big surge of new meetup attendees after the Bitcoin meetup, after the big Bitcoin conference.
Yeah, Lord willing.
All right, Rev, you got anything else?
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.